Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. LE2B. I'm Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with Eric B. Thanks for tuning in. We have a lot to cover. Big news week. A lot of stuff happening. Where should we start? I was gonna, you know, let's start with OJ Simpson.
Well, my voice is a little hoarse. I'm a little, so I sound like, who do I sound like?
Well, I was gonna say RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Don't you kind of sound like him?
Yeah.
Why does he sound like that? Does he have like throat cancer or something?
No, he had some issue with his, I forgot what it was. I could look that up, but.
I don't, it's so funny that people are like, he's going to run or whatever. And people are like, yeah, I want him. It's like, really? I mean, you can't even listen to him. He's unlistenable.
Yeah. I actually think now that people don't really know much about him. And once they start seeing him out there, you know, and see how he talks, it's definitely going to be a liability for him.
Yeah, I would think so. Like sounding like he, it's hard to listen to him. I mean, I'm not trying to be what, I don't know what the problem was, but he should not go into a job where he has to like talk all the time on TV, you know? It's like, I'm not going to go into a job where I have to wake up early every day, you know, like the army.
You wouldn't be good at the army?
No, I would not be good in the army. I would like, you have to be up at like 5 a.m. every day. I would just be like, I can barely get up at like 10 a.m. like 3 days in a row. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
I was not built for this world, I don't think. Like, just like by Wednesday, like at my job, I'm like, what the fuck? But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But so OJ Simpson died of cancer. Finally. I think that's what someone at the that was one of the eulogies that was given at the funeral. So
I mean, there was a lot of tweets about it, you know, of course everyone was chiming in. Did you write anything?
No, I don't really tweet that much anymore. I feel like no one cares about my first of all, I don't really go on that anymore because it's just psychopaths, but I mean, I just feel like I'll put out things and, you know, it's different now. I just feel like I feel like I'm almost shadow banned. I feel like I literally put something up the other day and I feel like it said something like it hit like three accounts. And I was like, what the fuck? That's insane. Like the reach was three. That's like, I mean, it wasn't that bad what I wrote.
No, but on Twitter, if you aren't paying for the blue check mark, you're not getting anything. And I'm not really anymore anyway.
I think I am paying for it. Or I was. I don't know. I think I was it for, you know, actually my account got, someone took over my account and then now I have a new account. I kind of had to start from zero. But so what, you know, this kind of, you know, takes me back to those, that whole circus and what happened and how it really did shift culture in a way. I mean, it's responsible for so many things. The sensationalism of, you know, the media. There's kind of at the beginning of that, and you know, the Kardashians, and just. It's kind of like it's reminiscent to me of this era a little bit because it was like, remember when OJ was just like the news every day for years,
right? I think that was the beginning of it, really, of this circus news cycle, you know. And I was trying to tell younger comics that I'm talking to this week, you didn't know how much it dominated the news that year and a half. It was just everything.
Yeah.
You know, it changed cable news. It created court TV, which became a thing. But you couldn't take your eyes off it. You really couldn't.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it started with, you know, obviously the Bronco chase. That was like the most, you know, before the internet, it was just like, well, you know, it was like watched more than like the finale of MASH. I mean, that was kind of a watershed changing moment when like every channel was on this Bronco chase. Right. And so it's just very reminiscent. I mean, now it's Trump is in his play. And it's like we watch him when he drives to get, you know, arraigned or whatever, or to get arrested. Right.
But it's so funny because when you saw that Bronco chase, you were like, oh, he's going to go to jail. This isn't like an admission of guilt. He's running away from the cops. You don't do that unless you're guilty. And then he gets off. And it's like, that's like Trump too. You're like, oh, now there's no way he can win the election now after he did this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And he still wins, you know?
It was amazing though to see, you know, going through all that and how long, you know, it was just, it was so constant and it was so dragged out. And even after he, you know, when he got acquitted and then like it didn't go away, you know, he still was around, he still hung around and then he was always doing weird things, right? And then they did the civil trial. And so seeing the headline of like, I saw it on Drudge. It said something like O.J. Simpson, you know, murdered by cancer, which is a very tasteful. But it was kind of like, oh, wow, that's kind of the end of this huge, not era, but kind of this this new thing in the news that changed everything. I know he wasn't recently, but he did go to jail and he was in the news when that happened. But it felt very like closure kind of and kind of a thing of like, oh, he finally like got his, you know, right. Sort of.
Well, I mean, he did go to jail. And I always remember saying it. I remember after it happened, when he got off, I'm like, this guy literally got away with murder. And so in his head, he thinks he could probably do anything. So I always thought he should have just left the country, take his NFL pension, which he got. They couldn't take from him. But I'm like, he's going to fuck up. He's going to fuck up. And they kind of set him up, really, basically. It was like a sting, basically, I think, what they did to him. But it was just to get the fucker in jail, you know?
Right. Like, he didn't even leave L.A. And, you know, it's just like, at least move to another, like, neighborhood. I don't know. I think they just get so obsessed with, they can't, it's not normal. They can't just leave and go off the grid and be like, all right, well, that's it. And this was way before social media and all that. So, like, now someone like that can't. And so it's kind of like it's like I know comparing it's a false comparison, OJ and Trump, but there are similarities like the sensationalism and like how everyone was just so like oddly that moment that they always show where they showed the verdict. And it's just you know, black people next to white people and the disparity of how they're reacting is just such an amazing, you know, like iconic moment of like it kind of just encapsulated the problem in the division in America, like how they're just so. And I was kind of mad at when it happened, but then I watched the OJ documentary and I was like, oh, I get it. You know, I get it.
And it was really payback for the LAPD because they were so aggressive, Rodney King and all that other crap. So it was kind of just payback.
The jurors basically said, some of the jurors were like, yeah, no, it was because of Rodney King. It was pay. And I get it. Cause it's like,
right. I mean, they lost the trial when they said that, like, Mark Furman, did you ever use the N word? And then I guess they found out he did. And that was it. The lead detective on the case was heard using the N word. So that was basically
right.
It,
I think. Now look how much has changed. It's like, kind of like, did you ever use the N word? Like, yeah. Okay. Well, you should be president now. Like the things that Trump has done beyond the scope of that is just kind of is absurd. That it was interesting to kind of, because it took me back to that era and that time that, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago. But I mean, when the trial was on, yeah, I was obsessed with it. I watched it all the time. It was the beginning of that kind of like reality true crime, or just reality TV was just more compelling than narratives.
I also always had this one theory that OJ helped Bill Clinton get reelected. Because what happened was, when after like a year after Bill Clinton got in, the health care plan didn't work. He was having some issues and the press was just destroying him every day. And then the OJ thing happened and no one talked about Clinton for like a year and a half. And then by the time it was over, the economy was better and everyone's like, oh yeah, this guy, I like him. So I think it really helped him out a lot, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it was such an, you know, it's just amazing how, again, not to compare to the Trump era, but it's similar because it marks a definite shift in our culture. Because like when it first happened and I saw like a news segment and there, you know, first of all, they show O.J. Simpson like at the funeral and I'm like, that's pretty, you know, this is before I know anyone knew anything. And they were like, investigators want to, you know, want to interview O.J. Simpson, talk to O.J. about the murders. And I was like, why? Like, what would they ever talk to him about? And then when it came out and then the chase, it was like, it felt like such a much more innocent time. And then something happened. And then with Trump, it was the same thing in 16 where it was like, you know, it was kind of like, Trump's going to run for president. Why? Like, he's really like, that's a thing. Like, what are they talking? And then like, it changed all. And again, I do feel like that trial is the, you know, it was one of the main causes for the Kardashians. Yeah. And that was a big moment in culture and in pop culture and how we've, you know, consume things. The fact that they became these elevated celebrities. So anyway, it was.
Yeah, I actually want to play. And it also made this person pretty famous. You want to hear?
Yeah.
In other book news, Prince Charles released an autobiography in which he states that he never loved Princess Di and that his father pressured him to marry her. The book is entitled, "Of Course OJ Did It." I mean, come on.
Yeah, those did kind of put him on the map, right?
That's right.
He had a field day.
Norm MacDonald would do. That's how really why he got fired from the show. He was doing too many.
And it was so fun. I mean, that was such a big thing at the time, too, because the fact that he was just point blank making these jokes on SNL every weekend was just like insane. Like he was just, you know, outright saying that OJ was guilty every single Saturday.
Here's another one. This is a funnier one.
This week at the OJ Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence. And OJ didn't help his case any by blurting out, "There it is. I've been looking all over for that thing."
Have you ever watched? I've just watched a compilation of those.
Yeah,
that's how. There's one where he goes, they were interviewing, Ron Goldman's father, and he wondered what his son's last words were before he was killed. He's like, you know, if you ask me, his last words are probably, "Hey, you're OJ Simpson." And then there was one where he's like, OJ said in an interview that actually Nicole used to abuse and beat him all the time, and he also claimed that she and Ron Goldman murdered him.
They were so good. I mean, Norm would do that like every Saturday on Weekend Update. It was just
yeah, so those were actually, and it did sort of, you know, he had just taken over the job that year, right?
No, he was doing it the year before that, I think.
It was that year.
Yeah, you're right. It was the year he took it over.
And he kind of like that kind of like, I think that was when I started to kind of like it. I don't know if people remember, but there used to be a time when like I've watched old SNLs and like the Weekend Update segment was really dicey. Like they would bomb a lot of the time.
Right.
And he would bomb a lot of the time. If you watch it now, they can't bomb. They made that unbombable. It doesn't matter what they say. They're going to kill.
Want to hear one more?
Yeah.
By police at the scene of a crime.
Okay, another one.
How the focus shifted from the defendant to the alleged. Our top story tonight comes from the O.J. Simpson civil trial, where this week it was revealed that in his first interview with police, Simpson had refused to take a lie detector test. His reason? It detects lies.
And that was the civil trial, which he lost. He did lose the civil trial. And they never got a dime out of him either. Family sued. They never got a dime out of him.
But didn't they get, I heard that they, when he released it, and that was the other thing, he released a book that basically was like telling the story of him doing it.
Yeah, I did it.
It was called If I Did It.
Oh, yeah.
What happened was the Goldmans, because of the civil
claim, they got some money.
I think they got the rights to it or something. And so they released it and they put the "if" really small and then in huge letters it just said, "I did it."
That's hilarious.
But it's insane. He wrote a book basically like, and someone was like, "All right." And it was just like, "Yeah, like if I did it, this is how I would have done it." That's just crazy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and it was another thing I was telling people too, is that yes, it was a racial thing, and obviously I just think that if he was on trial today, I don't care if it was a black jury, I think they would have convicted him. And the reason why I say that is because at the time DNA evidence was kind of a newer concept. People didn't really, now after 20 years or 30 years of forensic files and all these crime shows, people know DNA, you're done, you're in. And they had to explain it to everybody. Remember, they had a, like an expert to explain DNA.
They had it right, but he literally got right under the wire with DNA. Like literally, you could not. He could not have timed it any better. Like it was. They had it. It just no one understood it, and no one like really believed it. And I don't know. I feel like these days people still. You know, so many people are so crazy now, and they just whatever you tell them.
Yeah,
I feel like you really could talk your way around DNA, like a DNA evidence now, if you had some crazy idiots on the jury. But
someone was reminding me of this conspiracy theory that they said that OJ's son did it because OJ was kind of not doing. He had bad knees; he couldn't do it, and maybe that could explain the DNA evidence. But I still think your DNA is different than your kids. I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, no, that's not. And do you remember, there was a time in the trial where they were like, they brought in a DNA expert and they were like, okay, so according to this DNA that you analyzed, like, what are the chances that this is not OJ Simpson's blood? At the end, he was like, it is a billion to one chances. And I think that they explain where they're like, well, see, it's not like definitive. Yeah. Like, all right, it could be, you know, maybe, but it was like a billion to one. And still, you know, the whole thing they talk about is like, you know, you can win a trial basically on, you know, the voir dire or whatever when you're picking the jury. And, you know, they just had people on that jury that they were just like, I don't give a shit. And also, you know, it was race, but also it was like, celebrity. It was a celebrity.
Right, but they
thing.
Also had to pretend like they didn't read. One of the questions were like they didn't. All the people on the jury didn't know anything about the trial or knew very little. Like,
yeah,
that's who you want on the jury. Someone who didn't like read the news ever. You know,
that's why those juries they always end up being like more morons. I guess morons are liars. And remember, it was like a year. It was like over a year. The case.
Yeah.
The trial. I mean, that was the other thing. It was just too long. Like, you shouldn't. Why was it so long? It was just such an open and shut case. The glove thing.
But that was a big miscalculation, you know.
You mean like when he put it on in the trial?
He put on, for people who don't remember, they the gloves that he used to kill the people, they made him try it on in court and they didn't fit. But they said the reason why they didn't fit was because I think blood dries it out.
He also had latex gloves on
right?
So like, and he was. If you rewatch it, he's totally. I mean, it's a performance of his lifetime. You know, I mean, it's insane what he's doing. And apparently, he had been taking a medication that. Something happened where he like. I mean, maybe this is just like a theory, but like. That he had been taking an arthritis medication, he stopped taking it, and it like swelled up his knuckles or something.
Oh, interesting! And they might have told him to do it, maybe or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And then it was. I mean, if you do go back and watch it, it is not fitting. That what a stupid. I guess they were just so cocky, and you didn't. What did you need that for? Like, I don't know. The blood matches exactly his DNA, and you know, everyone said he did it, and they found the glove at his house. Like, have him try it on. Like,
yeah. But I also knew this other thing that they said the original lawyer, was it Robert Shapiro? He wanted to plead OJ. Like said they got, and then the last minute Johnny Cochran comes in and goes, well, no, we're going to get this fucker off. And Johnny Cochran was the one who won that case. I mean, he was the way he talked to the juries. You know, I remember Dana Carvey had some stand up joke about him going, you know what DNA means? DNA means did not attack, you know?
Yeah. That was like basically not far from what he was a great trial lawyer. He just would put on, he was like a one man show. Oh, yeah. Shapiro was like, we have to like figure out a way to like get a reduced sentence. Like, you know, I think he was going to try and do like intemporary insanity or something as a crime of passion because he saw it as like, you know, of course. I mean, these guys are smart. You know, they're like, of course he did it. No one's going to like think he didn't do it. Could you imagine like having when it's so obvious you did something like that? Have you ever been in a situation like that where it's so clear that you're lying? You just have to keep lying. Yeah. And just in your mind, you're like, what the how is anyone like? I don't even believe this.
I honestly think that he was such a sociopath that I think after a while he probably didn't believe it himself. I think
you think he convinced himself. Probably. I think there is a mental thing where, yeah, you can block it out. And if you are a sociopath, but and it was, you remember that thing that came up was like 5 or 6 years ago, like Made in America, the OJ Simpson documentary. Yeah. I thought it was really, really good. And it's kind of interesting how they chronicle his downfall afterwards. How you're right, he just wouldn't leave. And then he was trying to do like reality shows. And you know, Trump wanted him on The Apprentice.
Oh my God.
Of course, right? Yeah. That just is so like on brand for Trump to like, yeah, let's get OJ Simpson. It's just like, how fucking horrible are, like, really? When he was like the biggest pariah, and remember how he just became that? Do you think he never, I feel like enough time went by, people stopped caring. That's how bad Trump was. It's like, you made like OJ, he made OJ Simpson look not that bad by comparison, you know?
Right.
What else do you remember about that time? I mean, like, does it bring you back to?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time for me, but in general, just that trial was, I remember everyone was kind of glued to the set. I do remember they brought in that guy, Christopher Darden. They brought him in later, I think, the prosecutors, because they wanted a black guy as a prosecutor, because they didn't want it to look bad. Seemed like she didn't do the best job. I don't think the prosecutors did a great job, but
Marsha Clark, you didn't?
Yeah, but I don't think that was a winnable case for them in the end. When you look back at it, it's like, just
give, I don't think so either. And
that's
I
what
think
Cochran
the
said, glove he would just give me was, one black juror. That's all he said, you know?
And the glove was, that was their ace in the hole. It was like, all you needed was to give the jurors one excuse to lay it all on. Like, and it's just interesting looking at how much has changed from that time in our culture. Yeah. Like, it was kind of the beginning of the mania of like, turning people into these TV crazy story, sensational story junkies, like it had to. So, I mean, would you agree with that? That, I mean, it was such a cult. That's why, do you remember when they did the FX movie?
Yeah.
With like, who was Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Oh, that's right. Cuba goes in there.
And I watched it and I was like, I didn't think it was that good, but then I was talking to like people I knew who were younger. I was in law school at the time, so I was with a bunch of people that were younger, and they were like, "Oh, it's so good." And I was like, "I don't know. I don't like it." And they're like, "Why?" I'm like, "Because I watched the real thing.
Right.
Like, this is not like watching Cuba Gooding Jr. doing it. It's just not as good."
I mean, first of all, OJ was an actor, so you're seeing it's almost like a movie playing out when you were watching it for real. So there was nothing that could ever be better than that.
Cuba Gooding is a weird choice for that, I thought too.
I also remember the other thing that trial did is CNN really got big during the Iraq war in the early 90s, and then they were building, and then when the OJ thing happened, they were just, I mean, CNN was like, because they could run it all day. The other networks had a break for other things, even though a lot of times they would slip into the OJ trial, just the regular networks, but CNN was all day. And I think 94, 95, that might have been their probably biggest year they ever had.
Yeah.
And now no one even watches them anymore.
Yeah, it's just another indication of how was MSNBC and like even around at that time? Or
I don't think so, no. And Fox wasn't around until like 96. So they kind of dominated cable news at that point.
Yeah. And then, you know, another thing, it was one of those things where it, you know, of course it was in Los Angeles and it was just like, yeah. It made stars of people. Like, that's what was so, I mean, it arguably was the beginning of reality TV. I know like the real world was, but I mean, it was better than anything being written or on TV. I mean, it was like
Cato Kaelin.
Characters Cato Kaelin and Mark Furman. Like, he almost became like this heartthrob, but then everyone like turned on him.
Judge Ito. That was Leno was doing that gag that didn't age well, or it's the dancing Itos where they were just a bunch of Asian guys would dance in robes.
Yeah, Ito was a shithead too. Yeah. He got so addicted. They were like, they kept being like, are there going to be cameras in the courtroom? Judge Ito has not made a decision yet, you know. And then he kept being like, and Judge Ito is threatening to take cameras out of the courtroom. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. This guy loves this shit. And Cato Kaelin, I mean, you know, he was just like kind of, you know, struggling, kind of like, you know, journeyman actor in LA, and it kind of gave him a career.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I have a friend who lives in LA, and he's, you know, I visit him sometimes, and he lives like 3 blocks away from the where Nicole Simpson lived.
Oh, wow.
Where was it, like Bundy or something?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So like whenever I'm there, like I would go jogging and stuff, and I'd always jog by the house. It's really weird. It looks really, they made it look really different, but you can kind of, it's anyone, weird because remember they always had
someone bought
shot?
The house.
Yeah, someone bought the house, and they made changes to it. But and I think they even changed the address. But you can kind of, because remember they always had that shot of like the walkway, because that's like where it happened, right?
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
And then it's funny, I would jog, and then I would turn, and I would pass by. It's not the same. What was the name of the restaurant where the guy worked at, Ron Goldman?
I forgot. It was like an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, and it's something else now, but it was so weird because I would, you know, run the path from the restaurant to the house. So it was like, this is where Ron Goldman, like, you know, it was kind of, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah, because Ron Goldman was like this young actor who, I guess he probably liked her, Nicole Brown, because he's like, oh, she left her sunglasses at the restaurant. I'm going to go to her house and bring it to her.
Right. I mean, that old move.
You don't do that unless you're trying to fuck somebody. So, I mean, it's like,
I worked at a restaurant and like people left things. Not once was I like, oh, I'll take it back to their apartment. Like, first of all, how would I even know where any, like, how did he know where she lived?
Right.
Unless
he was banging her already, which is possible. You know, doesn't
who
excuse,
knows? I remember that was like a big the murder.
Yeah. But the weird thing was OJ,
bad timing.
OJ was so jealous. And maybe he was banging her, but OJ was banging everybody at that point.
Yeah.
They were divorced and he was getting laid all the time. So that was what I didn't understand about that. I guess he just, you know.
Well, the other thing looking back on, and I don't think people were as aware of, like, you know, I feel like domestic abuse hadn't been talked about a lot. Right. It wasn't really in the zeitgeist, or people weren't really aware. So like looking back on it, you always hear the stories where there's someone who's like a wife beater, who's like continually, routinely, you know, beating their wife over and over. And it usually ends where they murder them. Like, that's usually always where it goes. And then the fact that, so he no one knew that. Then that came out. And then she divorced him and left him. And like, he clearly was never going to just let her go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, clearly that hurt his ego so much. So it's like, he was, I guarantee you, if you're someone in that, like a wife abuser, is just, they feel like they're justified in. Right.
Which kind of, like, we can kind of pivot here a little bit, because the Supreme Court right now is ruling on this gun law that says right now, if you're like a convicted domestic abuser, it's very hard to get a gun. You can't get a gun. And someone's fighting that. And the Supreme Court might overturn that.
Yeah, so, of course.
Yeah. Which now brings me, if you want to move on to the next big story, Supreme Court causing another thing with this Arizona thing. I'm sure you've been reading about it. Arizona now is using an abortion law from 1864 before they were even
a state.
A state. Yeah.
Yeah.
They said that the guy who passed the law also was like a pedophile. Like, he dated 12-year-old girls, I'm sure. And so now it's like,
it was the law was like, you were, the age of consent for women was 10. That seems young. That seems inappropriate.
Women couldn't vote. People were still slaves, you know, and this is the law that they're going by. And, you know, this is why I feel hope for the Democrats, because this is a winning fucking issue. They can't. Trump all week is trying to make himself look like a moderate. That Carrie Lake, she's
it's funny,
fucked.
The
she's
backpedaling,
yeah,
by her, by Carrie Lake.
She's fucked
like,
up.
God,
she's
I
on,
hate
she,
her.
Yeah, but she's on record saying how great that law was.
I know, but now she's like, she's backing away from it and saying this is. And it's funny because I guess Trump put out that video where he's like, basically trying to backpedal it and saying he doesn't agree with it, and, you know, it should be left. It's so funny how much they lie and how much people like fall for it. Like, they're just like, we're never going to do this. Like the whole thing with the, appointing the justices, and they were like, I, you know, Roe is the law of the land. I would never touch that, you know. And they're like, all right. And then they go in and like 2 months later, they overturn it. So, and this, they're like, I'm not going to, I don't want a federal national ban. What are you talking about? It's the states. Yeah.
Trump said when he ran in 2016 that he was going to only appoint people who were going to overturn Roe versus Wade. I mean, he said this, you know, and they're trying, the press is letting him skate a little bit on this, but the Democrats got to be on the offensive, because the stuff he's saying and the stuff that Kerry Lake is saying is so stupid. They're like, they're being very mealy mouthed. They're not really being specific. They're like, oh, they got to fix that, and we got to come to or agreement. That's what they always say. We're going to come to an agreement that everyone likes. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if you know the two sides. There's not agreements that either one of them
agree. Have you been? Yeah. Have you been watching the news for the last 8 months, 8 years? We'll come to an agreement. Yeah. No, it's literally anything that the Dems do is the worst thing that's ever happened. Or, but I'm talking about
the pro-choice and the pro-lifers. There's not a lot of room for
No, have you been paying attention, what, for the last however long? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll come to an agreement. But that's the thing, too, is like that's what the Republicans ran on for so long.
Right.
And even they always had to change their stance on abortion when they were running. Right. They always had to be like, you know, because sometimes I guess it happened with Bush and McCain called him out, and he was like, you know, you say you're pro-life, but didn't. He's like, yeah, I am pro-life. And I think Romney even had to change it right when he was running. It had to be. So it was always. And I guess one of the obstacles they're running into now is like, and I'm tired of everyone using this cliche, but they're like, you know, it's kind of like the dog finally catches the car.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that is what happened, because it's, you know, for years it was their fight. And it was kind of what they ran on. And it was what they would be like, you know, their promise that they would make to their constituents was, you know, well, we're going to, I'm pro-life. We're going to overturn Roe. And, you know, it's ridiculous that they just want to murder all these people, all these babies.
Yeah, but that's why that leak came out of Roe, overturning Roe. Before the actual thing came out,
that was
done obviously by some Republican, because they knew they wanted to lock in Kavanaugh with his vote, because Justice Roberts was not going to vote to overturn it. They just needed, they're working on Kavanaugh, and they probably would have gotten Kavanaugh, because they said Kavanaugh and Justice Roberts are more political. They want to do things that are in the best interest of the Republican Party. And Justice Roberts definitely knew that if they overturn this, this is going to be shit for them. Trump is like, you know, you did this, Trump, but like, you know, all Trump had to do, if he didn't appoint someone to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this wouldn't be an issue for him anymore. And he'd probably be destroying in this election right now. He'd be up probably by 10 points at this point if abortion wasn't on the table.
So what do you think? Because that's what they keep saying. It's, you know, the dog catching the car. And now they've kind of painted themselves into a corner with overturning Roe and with this thing in Arizona. Because that's the other thing. They're kind of like, well, you know, we need to leave it to the states. It shouldn't be national. It's like, this is leaving it to the states.
Yeah.
This is what they're doing. This is what the states want to do. The other thing I really don't understand, and it goes to like, goes along with everything with the GOP now, or just, it's just, I don't understand that side where it's like, they want this thing. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm not agreeing, you know, they shouldn't have overturned Roe, but now that it's a state issue, and a lot of these politicians in the states that are so conservative, it's not enough for them. They're always like, it has to be everyone. Like, because they'll be like, we're the United States. We all need to be on the same page. It's like, first of all, that's not how you look at our country. You don't, you don't want to unite anything, but it's like, why does it have to be everywhere? You're in the state where you literally now it's like you can marry 10-year-olds and because women,
they're all,
so
about,
it's like, but why here too? Why in New York?
They're all about states' rights until it's something they like, then they want to impose it on everybody, you know?
Right.
And I think that's makes no sense. And by the way, if you're from Mississippi and you hate New Yorkers, why would you would want New York to have abortion, because if not, you're going to just make more New Yorkers.
You know what I mean? I know. That's the thing I understand. They hate New Yorkers. They hate California. It's like, yeah, why do you want more? It kind of reminds me of do you remember Louis C.K. had a joke where he was like, I don't understand people who go to these, like, they're so anti-gay people that they like, they drive to other states. They drive hours to protest people being gay. And it's like, there's no one gay where you live. Like, why do you care that there's someone gay somewhere? It's just like it's not stopping you from like mowing your lawn. You know what I mean? Like, just Like the fact, like, I can't mow my lawn. Like there's someone gay somewhere.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it, that is. And I'm wondering what that mentality, I guess it's just control. And
it's also,
I think it's just unhappy. I don't know what.
Yeah. But it's also important. I think blue staters sometimes feel like they're safe, but like, no, they're not. Cause you know, Trump could pass the, he could just with the, if he wins, he could make the abortion pill illegal around the country. He could just do it himself, they said. Also, if you're on blue state, you know, sometimes a Republican governor gets in, you know, and these Republican governors are beholden to the anti-abortions thing. So you're like, oh, I like this guy. He's going to lower my taxes. I'm like, good. But
yeah,
they'll do something about abortion. What that guy Glenn Youngkin tried to do in Virginia, which is a pretty blue state. They're like, oh, he won't do it there. And then he tried and it failed. But
yeah,
they're always going to try. They're always going to
try. So do you think it'll matter? Do you think it'll move the needle? I know this is like a thing that it's getting a lot of attention this week. But, you know, the Dems, they really are bad at keeping
this is a good issue because stories keep, it's always drip, stories just keep coming out. Someone's going to die. You know, that's going to happen. Someone's going to die from a miscarriage that they couldn't abort the baby. You know, they have the sepsis and things like that. Someone's going to die if they haven't already. That's what happened in Ireland years ago. Someone died and they changed the whole abortion laws. It's a drip. They can't. So it'll always end up, you want a lot of this stuff to come out in October. And I'm sure if the Democrats are smart, they're going to highlight some of these stories in October, you know, right before the election, you know?
Right.
So
it is funny too, when you look at Trump and just like his stance just changes every news cycle. It's just like, it needs to be like, but years ago he didn't care about it. Didn't he admit to having abortions? Did you hear that story when he, what?
I think everyone knows he's at least paid for it, like 7 or 8.
But have you heard the story that like he was on Stern and he was talking about getting someone pregnant and he was like, well, what are we going to do about it? And then like basically, you know, implying that he wanted to get an abortion. And then that ended up being the girl Trump that everyone hates or is barely part of the family. What's her name?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I want to say Nancy.
Tiffany.
That's
like, Tiffany.
What, Tiffany.
Yeah.
So like, can you imagine like being alive and like knowing that story was like on the Howard Stern. It was just like, how would that make you feel?
Like, if your father was Donald Trump, do you think that would be the worst thing that he's ever said about you? Like, you,
that's the word, that's the craziest thing. But yeah, just imagine like, oh yeah, he wanted to abort me, but I guess the wife talked him out, or whatever, the chick talked him out of it.
Yeah.
So
no, but I think this is why you see in these last few elections or these little special elections, the Democrats keep winning. They keep winning because, like I said before, abortion, a lot of these political things, they don't come through. Everyone's not paying attention. But abortion is sex. It's sex, because now you're saying my sex life has to be changed, because if I fuck up once, my life is over. And I don't even know why men aren't behind it. Usually the men who are so pro-life, you ever see their pictures on, they're like incels or they're 80 years old, they're not getting laid.
Yeah, they're always like the weirdest looking dude. I forgot one politician that just, it was so outspoken about the 1864 law, and he's just the most, he's a monster, or he looks disgusting.
I remember seeing this one documentary about abortion clinics, and they were showing this guy who protested a lot of them, and he was like 80 years old and a priest. And I'm like, dude, this is not your battle.
Yeah.
You've never fucked anything except little boys. Except for
the
little
other
boys.
Thing, I
little
love
boys
this
can't
whole...
get pregnant.
I know. Hey, you know, they thought things through. They're like, all right, we found a loophole. But Carrie Lake and a lot of them, how they always argue life begins at conception.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so what are you talking about? So like literally 10 seconds after you've just finished having sex, there's a third person in the room. Basically, you're just based, there's a kid there, right? Basically, that's what you're arguing. And also like the whole like, because they're always like, I believe life begins at conception. It's like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean you believe that? But that's not like a thing. You're just saying.
Well, they also know that their argument is so inconsistent. That's why that rape and incest thing, that used to be everyone was on board with that, those exceptions. But you can't really make those exceptions, because if you're saying that abortion is murder, it doesn't really matter how the baby is conceived, right? It's murder.
Yeah.
And that's with the IVF thing. And they backtracked on that too. They're saying that the second the sperm meets the egg, that's it. That's a baby.
That now they're alive.
You have an IVF clinic throwing out 50 at a time. I mean,
right.
And, but everyone was so unpopular. So they, but that means their position is inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, but really the hardcore ones do believe IVF is bad, you know, and they'll say it.
I mean, they're borderline almost like, oh, like if you jerk off and like yeah. throw away the towel, you should go to jail. Because you just murdered like 500.
Yeah. My sock drawer is filled with.
Yeah, you're going down.
Yeah, it's like a genocide.
But I mean, we're almost there. The fact that they enacted this law, I didn't even know, how is that possible? Like you're reenacting a law that like was formed when they were in a state. It's just kind of like, yeah, reenacting a law like, you know, that you can, you know, if you want to date someone, you can hit them over the head with your club and drag them back. Like, yeah, it was, you know, enacted in the year 2.
Oh, this is what I wanted to hear. Here's some other, let's see if I can get these. Some other books or laws that were on the books in 1864 in Arizona. Let's see. I'm just trying to see.
Why was Arizona so shitty from the beginning?
Well, it's kind of like, it was like the Wild West. I think it was a lot of the places were like that, but.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see.
What were the laws like you can shoot someone if they like, if they cheat at poker or like. Or like, you can like murder a prostitute if she makes a joke about your penis or.
This is good. There's a law that establishes what constitutes murder or manslaughter. It also creates a category of excusable homicides. Those situations are such when a man is working with an axe and the head flies off the axe and kills a bystander. That's or a parent is moderately correcting his child. I guess if they're like getting hit.
Yeah.
These are not, they're exempt basically.
Well, I mean, that's not even, I mean, the axe one, I mean, I guess I could kind of.
Yeah, but you could see how old the law is. Where they're talking about.
No, right. That there's laws about axe heads falling and flying off. Like that was a thing. That was a problem right. at the time. All right. If your axe falls apart and it murders someone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be an easy. I know. I mean, it must have been so easy to just murder anyone back then.
Oh, yeah.
You just like chop up like three people. You're like, it flew off. It's like, but it hit this person 8 times.
Well, you ever see the one thing I think of that movie Django was a good movie. Yeah. Right. Is when he was like this bounty hunter. Right. Chris Walsh, and he would shoot someone, and then they go, "You just shot this person." They go, "Oh, I got this letter from the governor. It says I can just shoot people."
Yeah,
that was kind of a thing, you know, because it was like wanted, dead or alive. But you could just go around and just shoot people. You know, you could probably make up the thing the governor wrote. Like, who would even know?
Yeah, that's true. Because in the movie, and I'm sure it's pretty accurate that. Yeah, that scene where they just go to the plantation and just murder the three brothers, and then they're like, "Here you go. No, look, we're allowed to murder them." They're like, right, "All right, fine."
Yeah, because it said wanted, dead or alive. You know, so
yeah,
if you got them dead, you had to take the bodies back. I guess that's what they did, right?
Yeah. What year was that supposed to be?
That was supposed to be before the Civil War, obviously. A little.
So
bit
it was around 1864, right?
Probably.
That. But the fact that we're going back to the, I mean. Those, you know, those times.
I saw some.
I don't
some,
know what is. So what is? I mean, there are people. So like women who vote for Republicans and for Trump. Do they just not know, or are they just brainwashed into? Because the whole thing with abortion is it always comes down. You know, the people that are on the pro-life side, they always boil it down to the most simplistic. Like, there's no nuance to it. It's always like. You want to murder babies. You shouldn't murder babies. Why are you? And they literally just in their minds have this view of people just like killing babies. And it's like the whole thing of like the healthcare aspect of it. It's basically like there are times when women, if they keep a child and they don't terminate, they're going to die. Like it was a story you were telling where the baby was dead.
Right.
And they were like, no, you can't. You have to have it. And it's,
right.
And it's
this is like, there's one law on the books, right? I forgot what state it is where the baby's dead in you. You still, you can get the abortion, but you have to do counseling, right? Where they tell you to keep the baby.
So you can't murder dead babies.
So what's that argument like? Yeah, we really encourage you to have this kid. Oh, the kid's dead. Well, yeah, but doesn't mean it can't have a fun life.
Right. Know? Yeah. No, come on. I mean, you know, we all have obstacles. All it needs is some love.
But yeah, also the whole thing, like life, a stuffed animal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all, these people are always saying, like, Carrie, like, first of all, Carrie, like, is just, I know she's crazy, but they're all just so full of shit. I mean, like, life can begin at conception. I mean, that's just some, like, religious lunatic thing. But first of all, you know, everyone knows life begins at 40. So I don't know what the fuck this conception shit is. I do think it's when, you know, we talk about, like, oh, I'm this age, I'm this old. And it's like, I think it's kind of a jip because I feel like you barely remember like 3 or 4 years of your life.
Right.
So I think we should grade it more on that, you know, like, yeah, but I'm this age, but the first 3 years shouldn't really count. I don't have any. And then as you get older, you don't remember the later years. So it's sort of like you literally, when you break it down, you have like 40 years.
Maybe even less than that. Well, and probably only 20 good ones that you can remember.
But I'm saying if you like, even if you live old, yeah, 20 good ones if you're lucky. So it is kind of an amazing, like, I want to live a longer. It's like, well, I didn't really like what are your earliest memories?
You know, the only thing I would always remember is like sometimes my parents would show pictures of me when I was like a baby, and that would kind of trigger something a little bit. I'm like, I feel like I remember that, you know, but I'd have to look at the picture.
That might be a mental thing though, where you're just filling it in.
But I do remember.
That's when they show you pictures from your high school graduation. I feel like I remember that.
There's one other thing that I wanted to say, because I saw someone, because the defense now some of these Republicans are making, they're like, well, the 1864 law is old, but the Constitution's older, and no one's saying to change that. Well, first of all, it's being changed all the time. And second of all, but that Constitution is fucking out of date. We know this. We know this. There's so many fucking, like the gun, the Amendment 2 was made at a time that should be changed.
When they didn't have machine guns.
Yeah.
It was just like they had, what are those things? Were just shot once? Musk. Yeah. were those the guns used in the Civil War?
No, I think they were past muskets at that point, but.
But wasn't it a gun where like you just had one shot and then you had to like take a long time to reload?
Yeah.
So if you watch those, I remember like in the movie Glory, where they would have like people in the lines in the front and then
They were first using of all, muskets of that.
If I was in the Civil War, I would have just been so in the back because those people in the front, they just always got killed.
Right. Well, why would they? Yeah.
What kind of a plan is that? And who are these idiots that are just like, yeah, I'll go in the front? It's just like that. I wonder if that's like a biological evolutionary thing, because I was always one of those people that like you would see these people were like, I'm gonna sit in the front of the classroom, and I was like, get me in the fucking back. What are you kidding me? So like if I was ever in the bring it full circle in the army, like if I had to, because I mean, the fact that there was a time where you had to be in the, where like you didn't join the army, they made you be in the army, the draft. Like, that's insane to me that like, if just one day someone would be like, okay, you have to go and like murder people now. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't want to do that. Like, you know, and they're like, yeah, you have to get a machine gun and like, go out there in the jungle and try and murder people. Like, yeah, I'm not good at that. Like, what I'm definitely gonna. So I think it's amazing that they would just make you do a job where you had to murder people.
Yeah, and I think like I guess the front line thing. I think two types of people went to the front line. I think people who are punished for doing something bad, like, oh, you're gonna go to the front lines, and then I honestly. I'm guessing there are people who really wanted to be in the front lines. And I got to be honest, those are the people you probably want on the front lines, because they're like, yeah, those are the fucking crazy people.
Yeah, totally.
You want them in the front. So it probably works. It's only the people who fucked up.
I would have made friends with those guys. Like, you should. I used to have a joke about, you know, people get into a fight and they'd be like, hey, man, can you have my back? you know, and I was like, when I get in a fight, I'm like, hey, can you get my front? And can you get my sides? Can you guys just form a circle around me as this fight is happening?
It also goes to the abortion thing. Like, I was talking to someone about this yesterday. It's like when the Republicans always go, oh, some people are having abortions at 8.5 months pregnant. And the only time that's ever happening is if the person, the woman, is going to die, right?
Yeah.
There is no woman that would have a healthy baby 8.5 months. And if there was a woman who did that, that woman probably should not have a baby because she's probably fucking deranged, right?
Right. That kid's probably better off.
You're like 3 days away from again. Nah, just fucking throw it in the garbage.
It's also amazing too. Like, I always think about the thing where these kids, when they turn out so bad, you know, when they just become such a nightmare for, like, you know, these parents. I think recently in the news, these parents got sentenced to prison because their kid like murdered, did it on like a mass shooting spree or something.
Right.
That is like, I mean, there is no worse indication of like how bad a parent you are. You know what I mean? It's like, how's your kid doing? Oh, yeah, he murdered a bunch of people.
But you read, like, did you read that story too? Like, that guy, they must have done some real bad shit. And not only did they keep like guns unlocked in their house, they bought him a gun like 2 days before he did the shooting.
Yeah. When he was like talking about being mad about and wanting to murder people. I always think of it when I hear about like the Menendez brothers, you know, like you have these kids and then they just end up shooting you in the face. It's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Work out. I know that they probably like raped them or so or whatever. I get it.
I also saw the, we could finish on this if you want, because it's
let's finish.
Talking about raping kids. They added another episode to that Quiet on Set on HBO. Did you see all of them?
I watched all of them, and I just watched the interview one.
Now, I mean, this I think is resonating the show with more. I mean, we're a little older for that, so we were really into those shows, but I was aware of them, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, you talk to some younger people like, that was my show, and like, so I think people
It's like destroying their but they're having kind of their Michael Jackson moment that we had to struggle with. Our reckoning, I didn't take a lot. I mean, I do think it's funny when people are like, you know, this is ruining my childhood. I like that. It's like, really? I mean, like, I still like Michael Jackson. I thought he did it from the beginning, but I mean, I didn't make me not listen. Like, if I hear a Michael Jackson song and I like, I'm like, oh yeah, I like that song. And the joke I always made is I'm like, it wasn't like he was molesting the kids in the song, you know? I mean, I would have a problem with, but
I mean, they're ruining the child. You remember that when that female Ghostbusters came out, people like, it's ruining my childhood. I'm like, you must have had a really bad childhood.
Right. It's so weird. Like, why is a new movie coming out as an adult ruining a movie you liked before? Like, what is it? It's the whole ruining my I remember like my nieces watched some of those shows. They didn't really watch, like, I was aware of like Amanda Bynes. Right. Only because at 1 year she started to become really hot, and like I think she's trying to become. It's so funny, like what the formula is. It's basically like when you're a kid actor, usually a chick kid actor or performer, the only way you can that you can make the transition into adult performer actor is you just have to act like a slut. You just have to be really slutty. Like that, they're like, hey, look, if you want to be taken seriously as an adult, you got to take your pin. Like Miley Cyrus. And Amanda Bynes, they kind of really started sexualizing her.
Someone told me this story too. It's just a rumor. I'm not saying it's true, but that guy, Dan Schneider, you know, the one who was on Head of the Class and ran the whole Nickelodeon thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one thing that he was never really proven to do was like touch the kids. He would get massages by them, but you know, but then someone told me the story that I think is out there is that he knocked up or banged Amanda Bynes.
Really?
Yeah. But I was thinking, I'm like, oh, well.
No wonder she's so fucking crazy.
Yeah. But maybe I'm like, it wasn't in the doc. And I'm like, well, with something like that, you need a lot of proof, you know, because
I kept waiting for that when I was watching the series. I kept waiting for the Dan Schneider sexually abusing Amanda Bynes. They were really like hinting towards it.
Right. I think they just didn't have enough proof. And I think when this Dan Schneider knew when this doc was coming out, he probably lawyered up and they were probably saying, "You, hey, if you're going to say this, you better have this shit on lockdown here because."
Yeah. First of all, every picture they show of him, he just looks exactly like someone who would molest kids. I mean, he couldn't look anymore. And I mean, it's such a crazy. Did you watch the whole series?
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about the one guy who was, you know, molesting. I don't even think, well, he was basically, you know, raping Drake Bell. And then I think he was a registered sex offender and he still was able to get jobs working on kids shows. Like,
right.
How do these people get jobs?
Because they were saying something about you don't have to do a background. It was some loophole where you didn't have to do background checks and stuff. I also, you know, you read more about this guy, Drake. They covered a little bit in the doc, but he had such a troubled history after that. He was actually doing some weird things to younger people.
He had a weird thing. I don't know what it was. It was like he was soliciting a minor. I think it was just some really young chick or something. Right.
But you know that you almost not excuse it, but you know, this is how pedophiles are created and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
and I do think him coming out with the, you know, and like going public with it was a little bit of rehabilitation from that, more right. Kind of a little bit of, I'm not trying to be cynical, but I think a little bit of like, and I understand it's probably like, look, I might have done this thing, but this is what happened to me. Yeah. So maybe it's like, give me a break if I'm being raped by this, you know, and I'm not. That's such an insane, you know, it is amazing when you watch these child stars, how they, you know, there's a reason they all, not all of them, but a lot of them just become crazy. You know? Like, I mean, Amanda Bynes literally lost her fucking mind.
I mean, some of them have like, because they start as young and so they're actually kind of talented. So some of them really like Ryan Gosling or Ariana Grande.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. So there's a big upside, but most of the time it's like you peak when you're 14. Your life peaks at 14. That's tough.
It's very rare that someone who's like a young performer actually has talent to like continue on.
Right.
Because it's easier. I feel like if you're just kind of an outgoing, precocious kid and you're not shy, you can just go out and, you know, if you're just not afraid of being in the spotlight, you can go and just be a kid. But like Ryan Gosling and, you know, like Justin Timberlake, like those guys, like they were good. I think that you had to have a little more to be on that show because they had to like sing and stuff. But
I also think that a lot of the things with these child stars is like some, you know, a lot of them are really cute when they're young and then they just don't, they age really badly, you know, and they just look horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be rough. Like being really cute. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like a woman who's really hot and then she can't understand when she gets older, like the world changes around her and they just don't understand. I mean, it makes sense. Cause you'd be like, I don't understand this world. Like, why don't I get everything anymore?
Right.
But yeah, like Haley Joel Osment, everyone was really hard on him cause he kind of looked weird.
I think a lot of the male ones also are usually like short. So when they're young, it looks cute. And then they're just like little.
Right.
Little midgets, you know.
The smart ones get out. The smart ones like realize, like, okay, it's over. I'm not a kid anymore. No one wants it anymore. Let me go get a job. Like the kid from the Goonies, Chunk.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's got to give you some like, you know, self consciousness, like that you're like a kid actor and you're basically your whole persona is just being a fat kid.
Yeah.
He became a lawyer.
Yeah.
And if you've seen him, he lost a lot of weight and like is in good shape. And it's like, yeah, I'm not going to be chunk anymore, but it rarely works out. And I do think it's funny that like these parents who push their kids into showbiz when they're like, you know, because you always hear the stories. You're like, I started in the business when I was three. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, how are you like, you know, and they're like, yeah, I just really wanted to do it. And I'm like, why are you making those kinds of choices at three? Like, I wanted to be a fireman when I was four. My parents weren't like, well, let's take you down to the fire department and, you know, get you started. It's like,
yeah. I mean, some kids are like, I want to be a turtle. Like they're so stupid. They don't know anything. You know,
I just, there's no way that like, I guess maybe if you really want to do it, but I think it's crazy when the parents are like, yeah, sure. Like I was watching a movie the other day where like there was a baby in the movie and it's like, they keep, oh, mommy, you don't remember me, Mommy Dearest?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching that recently and there's like, you know, she's crazy. Joan Crawford, she just abuses the kid. And like, there's a lot of scenes with the baby just being passed around. And I'm like, who fucking just let their baby just be on a movies that just passed around for like hours?
And then you always watch that. You're like, I wonder how old that baby is now. Like, you ever do that?
Well, no, you know, but the last, it's the weird. Last, it's like the, wait, go ahead.
No, the last Curb episode. I don't know if you saw it.
No, not yeah. Everyone keeps saying it's good, but yeah.
Yeah, but they kind of bring back the Seinfeld last episode thing where they kind of repeat, like they bring back all the old characters, and they brought back this one character who's in an early season. It was a great episode, the doll, where the girl
hugs. Oh, right, where she cuts the hair. He cuts the hair off.
Right, and she hugs him, and he has a water bottle in his pants. She's like, he's hard or whatever. So she goes into trial against Larry David, and they're like, who is this girl? And they're like, oh my God, that's how long the show has been on. This girl is like in her 30s now.
Wow, that's so weird. I remember when I saw like the Nirvana, the baby from the Nirvana cover, they showed him later, and I was like, oh my, it is weird. Just, it makes you feel so old.
Hope his penis got bigger.
I don't know. He did a, I think he recreated it, but I guess he had pants on or something.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see that now.
Cool, yeah. You should write him about his penis and see what he said. Did your penis get bigger? I mean, it's got to be kind of weird, but yeah, that would be weird.
Everyone knows your penis from like the day you're born. That's not a good.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. All right. On that note,
yeah,
on baby penises getting bigger. All right. Well, anything else you want to add?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Please, you know, download. If you listen, you know, one thing we ask is if you listen to the episode, please download it, because that helps get our downloads up. I know a lot of people tell me they just listen, they don't download, which is what I do, but please download it. There's a download button you can just hit.
So should we play one more Norm joke?
Sure. Yeah. I love the. I was trying to think, but one I remember is it was right after he got acquitted. He was like, he showed a picture of OJ and he goes, well, it's official. Murder is legal in California.
Yeah. I don't know which one this is. I'm just seeing.
This week at the OJ Simpson civil trial, the focus shifted from the defendant to the alleged character flaws of Nicole Brown Simpson. Attorney for OJ hammered away at her lifestyle, citing sexual promiscuity, drug use, and the fact that she married a double murderer.
That's pretty good. There's another one who's like, you know, Johnny Cochran this week was accused by his ex-wife of beating her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he was quoted as saying, yeah, well, at least I didn't murder her like some people I know.
All right. Oh, that's it.
All right, cool. All right, bye, everyone. Thanks.